Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. You can read that as well, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the brethren. Praise God, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Praise God. That ought to make us jump up and down and shout the rest of the night. Praise God. Chosen me. He chose you before the world was even created. And that's how great our God is. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. We ask you, Lord, to lay your hand upon this message. Speak to each and every one of us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. Praise God. You know what we're looking for in life is to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Amen. I don't want to be under the curse, but I want to be blessed. And if there's ever anyone that could bless us, it was and is the Lord. Amen. Because the Lord has all power in his hand. The Lord has all wisdom in his hand. And to receive the grace that comes from him, we've got to understand where that focus of love is pointed to. Amen. And what God desires, what God desires. I believe tonight that if God desires something, it's going to come to pass. Amen. If God desired that there was light, he said, let there be light, and there was light. If God desired for there to be stars, there were stars, so on and so forth. The only thing that is different than the physical world that completely and totally obeys God is you and I. Amen. The animals have no choice. The elements have no choice. But you and I have a choice tonight whether or not we will conform to the will of God in our lives. Amen. And if we don't see it, we're going to begin to wander to other places to find blessings in other places. The main problem with that is outside the door of this place, there are limited blessings. Amen. Oh, yeah, you can find some blessings. You can find some fun. You can find some things in this world. But they will never, ever satisfy your soul like Jesus Christ can satisfy your soul. Amen. And when we look in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to focus on this a little bit tonight. And if this turns out to be a teaching night, that's all right with me. I hope that's all right with you. Amen. But the theme of the letter of the apostle to the church in Ephesus here is a letter of unity. Everybody said unity. And in this case, it was the unity of the Jews and the Gentiles in this particular area. There were those that were Judaizers. They were called Judaizers in the scripture. And they felt like they had to go and get their hands on this new work of God. And they felt like they had to compel the Gentiles to be circumcised and to follow the letter of the law. They were completely without understanding of the will of God for their lives and God's plan in this world. Amen. Paul had to deal with this in a number of places, especially in the areas of the seven churches, because there were Jews that were in those areas that lived there. And the Jews, felt like they were better than their Gentile brothers and sisters. And Paul had to tell them that there is no difference between the Greek and the Jew. Amen. There is no difference between male and female. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Somebody said amen. Praise God. And so they missed some very important things. In fact, even in Jerusalem, Matthew 23:23, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone." Praise God. Well, praise God. Gets quiet when we start talking about tithes and offerings. Thank you. Praise God. I needed to praise the Lord right then. Amen. You pay tithes of the herbs in your garden. Amen. You bring your extra tomatoes that God's given you. Praise the Lord. And you've omitted the weightier laws of the matter or of the law. The weightier matters of the law, praise God. And the weightier matters of the law are judgment, mercy, and faith. That does not mean that tithes and offerings are not important. Amen. The Bible says that we are actually stealing from God if we don't give of our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord. And we'll leave that for the judgment day. Amen. I want to make sure that I give back to God what He has given to me, a portion of what He has given to me. And when we get faithful in our tithes and our offerings, then we have done the least. Amen. We have done the very least that is expected of us. That is not the pinnacle. That is not the heights of living for God. That is starting out to live for God. I got a feeling that the Lord made it this way because there is one thing that really affects all of us, and that's our money. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And if the Lord can get us to loosen up our pocketbooks, then He can get us to loosen up our attitudes and our commitment to Him. Amen. Judgment, mercy, and faith. I could preach on that tonight, but I'm not going to. But we could fall into that same trap. You could fall into that same trap if you're not careful. And instead of looking at others the way we should look at them, I think what we need to do is start to look at ourselves. Amen. And look at ourselves in relationship to the Lord. Because when we see ourselves in relationship to Him, I believe that every time we see ourselves, we're going to say, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips, because I have measured myself by Him." Amen. I have taken a measurement in my life, not based upon somebody that's around me, or not based upon someone that is more spiritual, or based upon what they do or what they don't do. Amen. I am basing my relationship with God and then ultimately with one another based upon where I am in my relationship with God. And I've got a feeling tonight that every one of us can work on that. Praise the Lord. Somebody smile just a little bit. It'll be all right. Praise God. And what we need to do is what Paul was writing about here in love. Everybody said love. Love. Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Amen. And so liberty, the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. There are some things that we can have liberty in. And Paul was basically talking about eating meat that was offered unto idols. And there were those that had a conviction that they would be sinning if they ate that meat. And then Paul comes along and he says, Meat does not commend us to God, neither does it take us away from God. And he said, I can do that. But there is a little twist to this. Amen. It is somebody else. Praise God. It's not me. It's not all about me. Praise God. He goes on and he says, for all of the law is filled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, here's the key to the love of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Amen. What we need is joy. Does anybody here tonight need joy in your life? I need joy. And I believe tonight that it is a godly trait to have joy. The Bible says it is the joy of the Lord. Amen. God has joy over his people. And we're not going to have the joy of the Lord unless we measure up to him, unless we measure ourselves to him. If I am looking for joy out of you, I will be disappointed. If you are looking for joy in me, you will be disappointed. Amen. Why? Because we're all just human here tonight, and we don't have the ability to make everybody happy. Praise God. I try my best. I shake a lot of hands. I smile. I really want to know how you're doing. Amen. And I pray for you, and I hope that you're praying for me. Amen. And yet the truth of the matter is people will let you down. People that are close to you will let you down. Amen. People that you have confidence in will let you down. But there is one who will not let you down. Praise God. We know who that is. It's Jesus. And so Paul is writing here. I want to just go verse by verse here. And I hope that you'll listen and stay close with me here tonight. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us. And so when we look at having the joy of the Lord and true love in our heart to God and then to others, we've got to understand where we are. Amen. We're not just in a church building here tonight. We're not just in a congregation called New Life Tabernacle. Amen. Where we are tonight is in a spiritual place, and it goes so much deeper. Amen. This is the surface, but it goes so much deeper. It thrills me when I hear of the people of God, the saints of God, talking about what they saw in the scriptures for themselves. Amen. And we miss Abby tonight. She's not here. But if Abby misses, it's not because she's upset with anybody. Amen. She doesn't miss because of any other reason than it's beyond her control at this point in her life. And if it's all right, I'll share what you said to me. Is it all right? Okay. You got to be careful what you share with me. Amen. She said, well, I can't go to church tonight, so I'm going to get all dressed up. I'm going to fix up my hair, and I'm going to go to my piano, and I'm going to have church here by myself. Now, I want to tell you tonight, there are so many things in this world that will try to trip you up. But if you've got a made-up mind and you're only 15 years old, you can make it. Well, praise God. Well, I've got this and that and the other. I can't do it because I can't. I'm telling you what, there's some of you need to get a backbone. Amen. Some of us need to get a backbone and say, hey, I love God more than I love anything else in all of this world. And if I can't make it to the house of God, I'm going to be praying. Amen. I'm going to be reaching out to God. I'm not going to back up in this relationship, but I have understood one thing. He has chosen me. He chose me. Now, some don't believe that because maybe they have sinned and fallen away from the Lord. It is very difficult when you make mistakes in your life, but the most difficult part of it, I'm trying to get it out here tonight, the most difficult part of it here is forgiving yourself. It's forgiving yourself because God forgives us. Somebody said God forgives. God forgives, and you know when God forgives, He forgets. Well, praise the Lord. He's not building a case for a courtroom situation, but the Lord has forgiven and He has chosen us. Now, I don't expect you to jump up and shout, but if somebody did, that'd be all right. Amen. Because I was chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. None of my family live for God. None of my family know the Lord. I've seen a couple of them. I baptized my sister. My two nieces received the Holy Ghost and were baptized, but they're not living for the Lord today. And so I don't have any family that's in this way. But I'm thankful tonight that God chose me. I don't know why He chose me. He could have chosen someone with more ability, someone with more talent, someone with more wisdom. Amen. But He chose me, and I am overwhelmed by that tonight. Matthew said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Amen. The chosen part here comes after the calling part. Many are called. And you know how many that is? I think that's everybody. I think that's everybody. For it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God that everybody serve Him. It is the will of God that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth would give their life to God and serve Him. Praise the Lord. That's the will of God. That's the call of God. Many are called, and so we have the word many there, but then He said, few are chosen. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, amen, that leads to life, and few are going to find it. Amen. I'm glad that I found it, but even more than that, I'm glad that He found me. Praise God. I'm so glad tonight. Why don't we give the Lord thanks for that? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Praise God. We're sitting in a heavenly place tonight. We're sitting in a very good place tonight. Amen. We're sitting in a very, very good place tonight. You say, well, there's not that many of us here. There wasn't that many when they were having church in the ark either. Praise God. So think about that. Amen. Meditate on that. And so what have we been chosen for? Amen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so there is a underlying theme of this chosen situation. Amen. I believe tonight, I really want to focus on this more than anything else, the call of God, the choosing of God, the predestinated plan of God for our life. Oftentimes we think about that as, well, God, do you want me to preach? Lord, do you want me to teach? Lord, do you want me to do this or do that or do the other? What is your call for my life? Before we ever get to that point, before we ever get to the place where we can say, this is the specific will of God for my life, what we must do is we must understand the underlying chosen, the underlying call of God in our lives. And the predestined plan of God has to start with knowing Him. Amen. Knowing Him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And Romans chapter 8 really says it in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He was the firstborn. We are the secondborn. Praise God. We are born again. Amen. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Praise God. And so Jesus is our example tonight. Jesus is our example of how to deal with people that are against us. Jesus is our example of how to have a relationship with God. Jesus is our example of holiness. Jesus is our example of righteousness. Whatever you want to look at, if you don't look at that first, you're never going to find the specific will of God in your lives. Well, praise the Lord. I've got three exclamation marks behind that. Amen. And inside, I'm jumping up and down. Praise God. Because I have a predestined call in my life. I have a call to be like Jesus. Amen. That means I've got to put lying aside because Jesus didn't lie. That means I've got to put deceit aside because Jesus didn't have deceit. That means I've got to put jealousy and envy aside because Jesus didn't have that. And so I am to strive to be conformed unto the image of God by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Because of our holiness and because of holiness in the Scriptures, it is easy for us to fall into the Judaizer mindset that if we do these things, then because we do these things, we are now conformed to God. But I'm telling you tonight that I have seen people that dress right, look right, act right, can have some abominable sins in their heart. I've seen it in the saints. I've seen it in preachers. You know why? Because we're all human and we're all flesh. Well, praise God. But what we can never afford to do is get an attitude of better than thou. Amen. I don't feel tonight like I'm better than anybody here in this place. And I really don't feel qualified to stand in the pulpit and preach, but I have to do the will of God in my life. Amen. As Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. But I'm telling you, the life that I lived is not a good life. But I'm thankful that he called me. I'm thankful that he chose me. Praise God. And the choosing of God is not whether or not I was supposed to preach, but it was that I may conform to him. Praise God. And he is my cornerstone. He is my chief cornerstone. Amen. Whatever he said, I need to follow and I need to listen to very, very closely. All of the 30-some parables that Jesus spoke, I need to look at them personally. Amen. I don't need to become a shovel Christian and shovel it over my shoulder and say, that's for Brother Reed. Amen. That's for Garrett. That's for Nathan. That's for Isaac. That's for Gavin. Amen. Or somebody else. You just put a name in there tonight. Amen. It's not for them. It's for me. Praise God. The Word of God is for me. The preaching is for me. When I come to the house of God, I want to say, God, speak to me. And yes, I'm telling you, there are times that I'm preaching that God will speak to me and say, you need to do that. Praise God. Because we are self-deceivers and it is easy to go astray. Amen. David said, search me, O God. See what is in my heart. I'll tell you what I want to know more than anything is, do I love God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my spirit? Praise God. That is the essence of living for God. That is the essence of being a child of God. Amen. Is to fall in line with the predestined plan of God. Amen. And that predestinated plan of God is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. And then in verse 8 of the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. That word prudence there is mental action or activity. Do we have any activity in our brains here tonight? Are there any neurons moving around in there? Praise God. Well, some of you don't look like it. Amen. I'm wondering myself about me tonight. Amen. But it is more than that. It is intellectual or moral insight. Amen. He has abounded. Everybody said abounded. That's a lot. Amen. He has given a lot toward us in wisdom and moral insight. Praise God. So how are we going to be like Jesus? We've got to get wisdom and moral insight from the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord will tell you in the summertime, amen, you're not going to run around in your shorts and expose your body. Praise the Lord. Amen. The wisdom of God, the prudence of God, the knowledge of God is going to have you look in the mirror before you go out to work or before you go out in public. Amen. And say, is this modest? Is this the right thing to do? The Holy Ghost is going to do that. Amen. I remember a lady that received the Holy Ghost in New Bedford, Massachusetts. I think her name was Diane, Paul and Diane. He was an engineer. She was a nurse. And they came in and they prayed through and they started living for God. They were brand new, didn't know anything about the Lord, didn't know anything about the Word of God. And she was praying. Now, can you imagine that? If we're going to conform ourselves to Him, we've got to have a prayer life. Got to have a prayer life. Amen. And she was praying, and the Lord spoke to her, and the Lord said, I want you to get rid of your TV. Amen. They hadn't received anything from the pulpit. They didn't know anything about the Word of God. Nobody had talked to them at all. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to get rid of your television. And so when her husband came home, she said, I was praying today, and the Lord told me to get rid of our TV. And he said, I wonder why. She said, I don't know, but we need to do that. And so they got rid of their television. Hope you'll be with me here tonight. She started praying again, and the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to get rid of all of your pants. That's what the Lord spoke to her. And her husband came home, and she told him, and he said, I wonder why. Why would God tell you that? She said, I don't know, but the Lord spoke to me about that. Amen. And I won't go into that tonight, but I'm telling you what, we need to be dressed in modest apparel. This isn't even in my notes here tonight, but it is. Can you imagine Jesus walking around in a sleeveless shirt and cut-off shorts? Amen. Praying for the sick because it's hot out here. Can you imagine Him doing that? Can you have that mental image in your mind? I can't imagine that myself. No, because He was and is the essence of God Almighty. And God is holy. Amen. God is holy. We're not out to show our flesh. We're not out to dress immodestly. No, we're not. We're out to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. And there were some other things that went along with that. Some of the jewelry. Her mother wanted to buy her some jewelry. She said, I haven't done that for a long, long time, and I want to buy you some jewelry. And she pulled up to the jewelry store, and she was praying. Can you imagine that? Praying and seeking for the will of God. Not to conform to the pastor or to the church, but the will of God. Amen. And the Lord spoke to her and said, don't get any jewelry. Amen. Again, she had never heard anything from the pulpit, but God blessed that young lady. She told her mother, she said, I was praying, the Lord told me not to do this. And I wonder why. Well, I don't know, but that's what the Lord spoke to me. Amen. We cannot conform to the things of this world, but we must conform to the will of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says it is not right for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. And we've taken that away in our generation. Amen. But it still applies. Because the Bible says, I'm not going to get into it. I already told you I'm not going to get into it. Amen. But we are not to conform to the things of this world. Amen. But conform to the Word of God. Amen. And I could go into that tonight. And the Scripture is very, very clear about this. And that's where preaching comes in, because not everyone is that sensitive to God that God speaks to them like that. What we need is the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. Maybe what I need to do is go through my series of holiness and talk about holiness from the scriptural standpoint. The scriptural standpoint is the standpoint of which God says, this is what I like, and this is what I don't like. Amen. Now, I know we're living in a generation. Somebody told me the other day, someone that's not in the church, but a distant relative of me, and just kind of related through, well, anyway, I know this person, and they were talking about their son, and she said, yeah, my son's husband, and she started talking about her son's husband as though it was natural, as though it was just a common, ordinary thing. But I want to ask you tonight, is it right in the eyes of God for a man to dress up like a woman? Does it make you feel like, oh, this is freedom, this is liberty? It's not. It's bondage. Amen. When a man dresses like a woman. And it's the same way the other way around. Amen. But he has called us tonight. I'm not going to go into this. He has chosen us and he has predestinated us to be conformed to his image. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Or is it just a casual thing with you? Amen. Is it just something that you would like to do, or something that you like it when you see other people do it, or is it something that you want to do in your own heart? Amen. He has abounded toward us in all moral insight. Amen. And it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Everybody said love. Love. He has given us the spirit of love. Amen. We need to love one another. Amen. We need to love God. Those are the two greatest commandments in the Word of God. And if we offend in either one of those, we offend in all, the Bible says. Amen. I've got to love God. I don't want to even say it that way. I want to love God, and I want to love others. Amen. But let's be real here tonight. If you love someone, that does not guarantee that they will love you back. It doesn't guarantee that at all. And in fact, in many places, the Bible, or at least in one place, the Bible says that the love of many shall wax cold. I'm not going to love anymore because I've been hurt. But I'm telling you tonight, we're not here tonight to get something for ourselves. We are here. We were created by God to be predestined to conform to his image, that we may be the firstborn of him. In other words, expressing the image of our Heavenly Father. It's like a child, and they say, oh, he looks like his dad. Amen. It's the very same thing in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, they're just like Jesus. Amen. They look like the Lord. They act like the Lord. Why? They love God. There's a light that shines out of their life. Praise God. That is the will of God for each and every one of us. And it has abounded toward us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so God gives us love. I thank God for the love that He gave to me. He gave me love on Calvary's cross. Amen. He gave me love when He came to this world. God so loved that He gave. Amen. God so loved that He gave. And that love abounded. It abounded. It abounded so much it took Him to the cross. And what He's expecting us to do, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, that we are crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Amen. The reason we have trouble with some things in living for the Lord is because we have not crucified ourselves. We have not come to the place of honesty where we say, God, what do You think about this? Amen. What does the Word of God say about this? Amen. It is so very, very important. And it is the will of God. It is the will of God that we conform to His image. And wherever He went, He loved. Amen. Even when He got a whip out and He beat those people that were in the temple and flipped their tables over, the loving Savior, all their money interchanging with each other, as they're bending over, scrambling to get their money, He's whipping their backs and driving them out of the house of God. I'm telling you what, He did it because He loved God first. The zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up, the Scripture says. He loved His Father so much that He was willing to do anything, anything at all. He was willing to go all the way to the cross of Calvary because of the love that He had for His Father. We are predestinated tonight to fall in love with God. Amen. To love Him with all of our heart. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 and 10 of Ephesians, it says, He hath made known unto us the mystery of this will, of His will. The mystery of His will. And that's the mystery of it. Amen. Of how a fleshly person like you and I, how someone that needs God, that is in rebellion against God, that is filled with sin, and far, far away from God, how can we be like Him? It's the mystery of His will. I don't know how it happens. It's a mystery to me. Amen. I don't know how it happened that when I went down in the water in Jesus' name, He delivered me of cigarettes. It's a mystery to me how that God put it in my heart to love Him. Amen. It's a mystery to me why He even called me, why He even spoke to me. Amen. Why He even filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a mystery to me how that He put something in my heart that said, God, whatever You want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Praise God. It is a mystery of His will, and His will is to be conformed to His image. And because of that, verse 11, I believe it's through verse 14, yes, we have obtained an inheritance. Somebody said amen. And that inheritance, if you want to take the best service you've ever been in, and multiply it times a million. That's the inheritance that we're going to have. Well, praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. The Spirit is going to get into the deep things of God. And it is going to show us that He has abounded toward us in all spiritual blessings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not just going to go to heaven by the skin of our teeth. I'm not just going to be barely saved. But you know what God has given to us, that when we conform to His image, the image of His Son, that He wants to use us spiritually? Praise God. He wants to use us spiritually. And I went up to visit your mother last night, and I was ironing a shirt so I could go. Wanted to look nice. Amen. And as I was ironing the shirt, the Lord spoke to me. This is what I want you to do. And so I went into my office. I found the two scriptures that I was impressed with, and I printed them out, took them with me. And when we were ready to leave and it was time to pray, I read those two scriptures. Amen. One of them was where the man came to the Lord, and he had a speech impediment. Amen. And the Lord touched her, and it was all right. Praise God. You say, well, it wasn't the Lord, it was medication. I'm telling you what, God's not going to heal something that we're going to continue to ingest into our body that is going to hurt us, whether knowingly or unknowingly. You can't be smoking cigarettes and say, Lord, deliver me of lung cancer, and keep smoking cigarettes. Well, praise God. You can't drink a glass of gasoline and say, God, heal me of this poison, and then go drink another one. God, heal me. God, heal me. No, that's not the way it is. God expects us to be smart about some of these things in our lives. And some of the medications that they have nowadays are very powerful. But when we left, we began to pray, and we began to speak in tongues right there in the hospital room. The Spirit of the Lord came in there so powerfully. And I said, I printed it out in a big font, so it filled the whole page. And I said, I want this to be laid in a prominent place so that if a spirit of fear comes into this room, it will be confronted by this word of God. Amen. And I quoted the other scripture, Mark 16 and 16. Never done that before. And then I find out today she's on her way home or already home, and they figured out what the problem is. You know what? My God is on the throne tonight. But what we've got to do is understand what God has blessed us with, and when He gives it to us, take it and do something with it. Well, praise God. Take it and do something with it. And I said, if there's a spirit of doubt that comes in here, that everything is going to be all right, that spirit's going to have to go over that word of God. And I'll tell you what, that spirit's going to back up and say, hey, there's the word of God in here, and God is in this room. I'm not going to bother with that one. I'm going to go to somebody else. Do you believe God's a healing God tonight? Do you believe God loves His people tonight? I believe that God loves His people so much. God loves every one of you here tonight. And it is His will that we conform to the image of His Son. All spiritual gifts. Amen. I've got a feeling, and I hope it's not the way that I preach the Word of God as the pastor of this congregation, but it seems to me that there are too many that come to the house of God with their head down and they leave with their head down. Too many that come to the house of God and pray like, well, I don't even know if God is going to hear my prayer. Too many that come to the house of God that say, I've done something wrong and so I can never be used by God. I'm telling you tonight, we've got to understand the love of God, the love of God to us. And if we understand the love of God to us, we understand forgiveness, we understand restoration, we understand that God can use us even though we are human beings. I felt a little bit of a resistance there, But I'm telling you, if Calvary's not enough to give you the victory, then what is? You're not in a hopeless situation. Amen. Your situation is not uncommon to men. Amen. You say, well, it's embarrassing. You know what? When we stumble and we make a mistake, it's embarrassing. Amen. You know what? In my ministry, I've made a lot of mistakes. But I'm telling you today, I'm not going to give up the call of God on my life because I made a mistake. Amen. Amen. You know what? I'm going to come to the house of God and ask for forgiveness. And then I'm going to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. I'm going to get back up again and I'm going to go on some more. Praise God. Because when we understand the love of God and the forgiveness of God, it will give us the joy of God. Amen. Somebody smile just a little bit. Praise the Lord. You're not destined to destruction tonight. Amen. You have not been called to wrath, the Bible says. That's not our calling. Our calling is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I need to wrap this up so I can be a man of my word here tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, praise the Lord. You can read all the way down to verse 16, and if that don't make you shout, nothing will. Amen. It is the will of God for us to see, to have a revelation. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. It is a revelation, amen, of the deep things of God, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do we have the mind of Christ? Do you have the mind of Christ tonight? If we do, it's going to put something inside of us that nothing can take away. It'll put it in a young person, and right now probably there's a young girl playing a piano and talking in tongues. Praise God. And some of us who think we've got real problems in our life, amen, adults, we come with our head down and we leave with our head down. Amen. What we need to do is get a hold of God more than anything else in all of this world. Amen. I need to be close to Jesus. And Jesus will tell you everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. The love of God. John 15 and 13. Sister Reed, would you come tonight, please? And let's leave this word here tonight for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I feel like everybody here tonight is my friend. I do. I love every one of you here tonight. I never get up and preach to offend anybody or to hurt anybody, but to instruct and to help and to inspire and bring faith up in your heart. Amen. That we lay down our lives. Praise God. It is very, very important, amen, very important that we dwell in unity with one another. And somebody should say amen to that. Because unity is the anointing of God. That does not mean that we are perfect people. It does not mean that we may even agree with one another about certain unimportant things, amen. But it does mean that we have developed love in our hearts. Love in our hearts. Amen. I read this a long time ago, and I just came across it again. I actually forgot that I even had it in my notes, and I saw this, and I thought, I want to just read this here tonight, and maybe it will be an inspiration to someone. But it's, Brother Charlie, it's from the a letter from a school teacher and one of his students. I'm sure as a teacher, Brother Charlie sees a lot of things, and there's a lot of interaction with the young people. And I'm sure you can get very close to those that you teach that look up to you and so on and so forth. And it was about a boy in school. His name was Tim. And it goes like this. I had not noticed Tim particularly until he began staying after class each day to help me straighten up the room. We did this quietly and comfortably, not speaking much, but enjoying the solitude of that hour of the day. When we did talk, Tim spoke mostly of his mother, though he was quite small when she died. He remembered a kind, gentle, loving woman who always spent much time with him. So he remembered the love that his mother had. As Christmas drew near, however, Tim failed to stay after school each day, and I looked forward to his coming, and when the days passed and he continued to scamper hurriedly from the room after class, I stopped him one afternoon and asked him why he no longer helped me in the room. I told him how I missed him, and his large gray eyes lit up eagerly as he replied, "Did you really miss me?" And I explained how he had been my best helper. "I was making you a surprise," he whispered confidently. "It's for Christmas." With that, he became embarrassed and dashed from the room, and he didn't stay after school anymore after that. Finally came the last day of school before Christmas, and Tim crept slowly into the room late that afternoon with his hands concealing something behind his back. "I have your present," he said timidly. When I looked up, he said, "I hope you like it." And he held out in his hands, and there lying in his small palms was a tiny wooden box. "It's beautiful, Tim. Is there something in it?" I asked, opening the top to look inside. "Oh, you can't see what's in it," he replied, "and you can't touch it or taste it or feel it. But Mother always said it makes you feel good all the time, warm on cold nights and safe when you are alone." I gazed into the box. "What is it, Tim?" I asked gently. "That will make me feel so good. It's love," he whispered softly, "and Mother always said it's the best thing. It's best when you give it away. Amen." And he turned and quietly left the room, and so the teacher said he keeps that small box, crudely made of scraps of wood, on the piano in the living room, and only smile when inquiring friends raise the question, "What is that?" He explains to them, "That is a box that has love in it." Praise God. Love is best when we give it away. It's best when we give it away first to God. Somebody said amen. Amen. And then we give it away to one another. Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together right now. Can we? Lord, we thank you right now.